Living Hope Assembly of God.
Grab your Bible. Let's grab it again and turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to try to finish this or get as far as we can this morning again. We're dealing with the ingredients for success. Successful. The reality is this, as we realize that we're called by God, and so many of us, a lot of times, we have a tendency to think that the call of God on our lives is something that we go and buy it at like a convenience store. Ritualistic things in order to do what God has called us to do. Oftentimes we see in the life of the believer, as well as Jeremiah, we started out in Jeremiah chapter 1 and realized that Jeremiah had a call on his life. And I've told you guys about the call of God on my life personally. We see Jeremiah was called at a very young age. And when God approached Jeremiah, Jeremiah was like, whoa, this is too much for me to handle. God, no, surely, I'm just too young to do this. And you're God, you should be able to see that I'm too young to do this. And not only that, but I'm from the smallest tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, and from a small community. Everybody knows me, God, and there are way more qualified people to do what you're trying to get me to do. God would not take no for an answer. God told Jeremiah point blank and plain, listen, you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. Why? Because I'm God. How many of us have ever been like Jeremiah, where we wrestled with the call of God on our lives? Where we questioned God. And we asked him, like, surely you're not calling me to do this. Surely you're not asking me to do such a big thing and I'm such a small thing. Such a small person. I'm insignificant. I've been insignificant most of my life. People have always looked over me and looked around me and looked under me to try to find a better person. We've seen this in the life of David. We see this as a repetitive thing all throughout Scripture, right? We see this all throughout in the life of Gideon. We talked about Gideon as well some weeks ago. It's so crazy how God, he doesn't, when he's calling someone, when he's calling a people, he doesn't look to the one who is already in a prominent type position. God oftentimes looked in lowly places for someone to do big things. I promise you today, if you leave here with anything, if you are a born-again believer, you don't need to have confidence in man. Your confidence needs to be in God. He's the one that called you. He's the one that is equipping you. As long as our lives are lining up with what God would tell us to do, listen, you're ready. And in that season, when God asks you to step out and talk to that loved one, when God asks you to go into this vocational type ministry, when God asks you, some of us, God may be asking you right now, I need you to go to the nations. God, the nations, that's really big. I don't even know how to go to the person in the grocery store. Oftentimes when God is calling an individual, God often looks at the passion of that individual. You know, one of the greatest indicators for me, and when I can tell when someone's called to do something, I look at where their passion is. And oftentimes that same individual, when I start to talk with them, they can't see it right off. We have Jeremiah in our text. He grew up in the home of a pastor. He grew up in the home of his father being a priest. He was trained and equipped by his father there in Anathoth. The word of God was being placed in him day after day, week after week, probably as he did his ritualistic acts in performing his duty as working for his father and seeing his father set the example. But I find it ironic that God didn't use Jeremiah's father. God used Jeremiah. And also, when we look at this text as a whole, we see in chapter 17 that a lot of history has taken place in the life of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is at a place where he has been heartbroken, where he has been hurt, where people have lied on him, where people have talked about him. Listen, when we go into ministry, working for the Lord, oftentimes there's going to be a whole lot of hard times before you experience the good times. But we have to understand that in those seasons and in those moments where life is being difficult for you, God is doing something inside of you. Several weeks ago, we talked about gold is refined in the fire. Diamonds become diamonds when they are pressed. And this morning, here in our text, we see Jeremiah's prayer, verse 14. You got to understand, God called him, God equipped him, and God knew that Jeremiah was going to face ridicule. God knew that Jeremiah was going to face shame. God knew that Jeremiah was going to be ostracized. God knew that Jeremiah was going to be lied on. God knew that Jeremiah was going to be sought out and attempted to be murdered. God knew all of those things. And this morning, too often, when hard times come our way, we throw a pity party instead of understanding that the God of the universe, he already knows. And if he knows, he is concerned about you. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you're going through this morning. But the enemy only attacks those that he feels threatened by. Some of us have gone through different things stemming way back when we were children. We were picked on. We were talked about. And now that we are adults and when God is using us in ministry and things like that, that will build his kingdom, the enemy of our soul often plays back in our mind in reverse the very things that were spoken to us with ill attempt, intention in mind. To remind you, to hinder you, to stop you from being what God has called you to be. I have to wonder, when we look in the life of Jeremiah, what were some of the things that probably played in his mind? Can you imagine some of the very people that helped you to get to this place in life? On your job, in ministry, whatever it may be. Those are the very people that turn around and hurt you the most. Oftentimes, the deepest hurt comes from those that you love the hardest. Do you hear me this morning? When the enemy is going to try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do, he's not going to work from the outside 9 times out of 10. No, the enemy of your soul is going to work from the inside. Listen, Psalm 46 says, though the earth give away and the mountains shake with their surging, Selah, God is still God. God is still in control. And the Bible says in Psalm 46 that in those moments and in those seasons that he becomes a refuge for us, an ever-present help. When we are in trouble, God told Jeremiah, listen, I am going to put my words in your mouth. And they're going to, your words that you're going to speak, they're going to do everything that I have said they're going to do. So what was Jeremiah's position in this? Is to be faithful. Jeremiah, just like us, he's human. We're human, right? It's easier said than done. Somebody in here this morning, you need to get back up. You need to dust yourself off. You need to trust God again. You need to realize that if he told you to do something, you need to do it in spite of what happens in your life. Jeremiah chapter 17. The prophet is broken at this point. The preacher is broken. The pastor is broken at this point, and I have to wonder in Jeremiah's life at this moment. You know, he's broken and he's hurting. And, you know, I wonder if he felt like at times that I have to be a certain way in front of the people of God. I have to look a certain way, but inside my heart is hurting. We have to understand that Jeremiah was praying, and this is a prayer prayed in private. If you're going through something, you need to pray to God in private, in secret. Go to the secret place and pray and talk to God. If you want deliverance, if you want healing, if you're wanting restoration, we see Jeremiah didn't go to anybody else, but he went to God. This is what Jeremiah said: heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, verse 14, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Did you hear that? He's broken. Who did he say his praise is? His praise is God. See how they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after you, or have I desired the woeful day. You yourself know that which came out of my lips was in your presence. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of disaster. Let those who persecute me be humiliated, but let me not be humiliated. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. I want you to understand something this morning. Jeremiah is not saying that he wants God to destroy the people of God. But what Jeremiah is saying, I want you to expose the evildoers in this matter so that the eyes of God's people will be open. Do you hear me this morning? You need to be careful who you allow to pour into your life, because there are people in your life at times, they're only in your life to keep you from going where God is trying to take you to. There are people that don't want to see you prosper, that does not want to see you move forward. So what they do, they stand there and they plant seeds of doubt in your mind. And here in our text this morning, these people begin to mock Jeremiah. If this prophecy that you're saying is so true, then let it happen. Let it come to pass. And the whole time that they were saying these things to Jeremiah, you have to understand that they were going and planting seeds of doubt in the hearts and the minds of the people that Jeremiah was trying to speak to. I would hate it so bad. And we live in a day and time now where we can preach to our children in our home, and a lot of times the school system and other entities are preaching the opposite. How irritating would that be? These are people that's supposed to be working for you, but not against you. The people that are talking ill to Jeremiah are people that should have been on Jeremiah's side. And once upon a time, they did support Jeremiah. But at this point in Jeremiah's ministry, the majority of the people were against him. We talked about it before, that the 40 years that Jeremiah preached the gospel, not one person heeded his warning. That's why he was accredited by the early church fathers as being the weeping prophet. That's why he wrote the book of Lamentation. He wept over Israel. He pleaded with God. You want to know when you're called by God? When you can take a slapping in your face, fall on the ground, roll in the mud, and get back up and dust yourself off and say, where is that person that hit me so I can minister to them again? Jeremiah is not weak in our text, but Jeremiah is strong. Jeremiah is strong because he was standing on something, church. What was Jeremiah standing on? Jeremiah was standing on the word of God. You want to survive? You want to make it? We better stand on the word of God. Amen. Jeremiah's trust derived from a firm belief that he had in God's power. If you're taking notes, that's going to be another ingredient that you need to have in your life. It's a firm belief in God's power. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But who do we trust in? The Lord. I need for you to understand this morning that there's a lot of teachings, there's a lot of things that are being taught inside of churches this morning around the globe that are not of God. What I mean by that is, if your method and your system is what is causing you to thrive, and it is not the gospel, then it's not of God. If what we do, if our reliance is on the functions of the church and not the chief facilitator of the church being Jesus, then it's not church at all. Do you hear me? You scare me. Can I get one amen this morning? We have to understand that. Listen to what the prophet said. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are my praise. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We see Jeremiah understood that if he was going to be healed, that it was going to be God that was going to do it, because he said, listen, I don't care what's going on, paraphrasing, I don't care what's going on in my life, God, all hell could break loose, my world could fall apart, but in spite of it all, you are my praise. You are the one that I trust in. You are my strength. You are my ever-present help. You are my shield. You are my buckler. You are my chief advisor. You are the great physician. You are the great I am. You are God, and I trust in you. It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. This morning, do you believe that God exists? Do you really believe that he exists? And that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You have to first be willing to come to him. Huh? Are you willing to come to him with all of your problems? See, because the reality is this, if you're willing to come to him, you must believe that he's real. And that's the last place that the enemy of our soul wants you to arrive to. He does not want you to believe that he exists. And so therefore, since a lot of times many of us don't believe that he exists, we go to other places, other means, other ways to try to find hope and restoration. And sometimes we find temporary satisfaction. Sometimes we find ourselves in those moments worse off than we were before. Here in our text, I have to wonder that Jeremiah probably looked back some years later and remembered when God called him. He said, Jeremiah, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. So listen, have confidence this morning. Yes. Do you hear me? You may not be best at what you're doing, but if God has called you to do it with confidence. Do it with excellence. You have to believe that he exists. And when we believe that he exists, and then he begins to reward those who earnestly seek him. Those that come to God to be healed should be satisfied in the all-sufficiency of their physician. If God holds us up, we shall live. If he protects us, we shall be safe. What is going on here? Jeremiah is a wounded preacher, and he wants his wounds to be healed. Here he prays for deliverance. Do you hear that this morning? How often are you praying? I know we've talked to God about certain issues, but sometimes we have to be like that persistent widow, amen? In Luke chapter 18, round verse 1 through 8, that lady was persistent. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said that we should model the way that that lady pursued God, that we should beat down the doors of heaven and petition God and say, God, listen, I'm not going to leave like Jacob until you bless me, until this thing is worked out. Why are we doing that? It's kind of like our kids and when we're in the grocery store or when we're at home and they're hungry. What do our kids do, especially the little ones? When they're hungry, they don't care. They're going to pull on your pant leg until they get your attention. We are the children of God, and we need to learn, Brother Jay, to pull on the pant leg of God until we get his attention. Now, how does he go about this? We have to understand within our text. How does Jeremiah go about this? First of all, Jeremiah complains of the unfaithfulness and shallowness of the people to whom he preached. He has faithfully delivered the message of God to the people. And what is their response? How would you like to be Jeremiah at this moment? Look at verse 15. How would you like to be Jeremiah? Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Wow. What an insult. What an insult. What a slap in the face. How would I feel if I preached a hard message and someone came to me and said, Pastor, I don't believe a word that you said? How would that make me feel, guys? You have to understand the weight, the heaviness. We can barely take rejection from one person. Jeremiah is taking it from a nation. The call of God on your life is a heavy thing. It's a burdensome thing. It is not an easy thing. There are times that when the call of God is on your life that you're going to go home and find a pillow to cry on. But when you're crying on that pillow and when your trust is in God, he will lift up your lowly head and you can lift your eyes unto the hills because he is going to replenish you. And that's why Jeremiah said that you are my praise. In other words, you are my strength, God. You see what I'm going through. I know in a minute it may not be on my time, but it's going to be on your time, and you're going to deliver me from this devastation, this state that I am in. Do you hear me, church? I'm trying to preach you awake this morning. We're going to get excited about the things of God. We're going to leave this place knowing that God has a plan, that God has a purpose for our lives, and we're going to wreak havoc in the life of the devil. Verse 15, behold, come on, tell it, let it come. The people made fun of the prophet. They made a joke out of what he said about the seriousness of his message. You know, the kind of people who laugh when there's nothing funny. These are the kind of people that approach Jeremiah, the people who scratch when there's nothing to itch. They denied the truth of what he said, and they defied the terror of what he said. They laughed at him. Oh, yeah, God. Oh, yeah, really, Jeremiah? You're kind of crazy. You need to get somewhere and sit down. No, there's no sign. There's no sign that God is going to do these things. You have lost your mind. Why, if God is going to do these things, why is life going so well for me? If God is going to do these things, I want you to show me, because things are going pretty good for me right now. Or that person who's broken. And they approach you and you give them God's word. And they tell you, child have to die. If God knows the plans that he has for me to prosper me and not to harm me and to bring me to an expected end, well, he's not prospering me. Where is your God now? I want to believe Haniel. I want to believe that God is going to deliver us in 2 years, Jeremiah. Why do I have to stay here for 70? God told the children of Israel, he said, I want you to continue to have babies and I want you to continue to live life as normal. Sometimes when you're going through a season in life, God is wanting you to live life as normal, though all chaos is going on around you. When you start to live life as normal, when your life is falling apart, that shows your dependency on God. Child of God, not everyone is going to receive what you're saying. And not everyone would be willing to follow where you're trying to go. But the question is this morning, will you keep going? Jeremiah had an option, didn't he? See, can I just stop in the road for a moment? There are a lot of pastors that jump from church to church. There are a lot of people that jump from church to church. As soon as a difficulty comes, they go to the next church. Pastors, parishioners. Sometimes God is wanting to see, will you just stay? So that he can do a work not in the congregation, but in you. Maybe it's not about the people all the time. Maybe it's really about you. It had to be about Jeremiah more at that moment than it were about the people. Because Jeremiah was the one that had the word of God in his mouth, not the people. Maybe God has you on, have you on that job and in that position and in that place in life because you have a word in your mouth that can deliver hundreds and even thousands, or maybe it could deliver your wayward child or your wayward sibling, your wayward loved one. Jeremiah didn't have it in him, and God was not going to allow him to walk away from this because God knew there was more at stake. Don't give up so soon when troubles come your way. When troubles come your way, are you listening to me this morning, church? I feel God is speaking this morning. When trouble comes your way, your job sometimes in most cases is to stand still. Do you hear me this morning? And not say, God, what do you want to fix in these people? But stand still and say, God, what are you saying to me? What do I need to get out of what you're saying? What do I need to receive this morning so that I can keep moving forward in the things that you have called me to do? God wanted to deliver a nation, and God wanted to use Jeremiah. God wanted to deliver nations, and he wanted to use Israel. But instead of Israel trusting God, Israel turned and trusted in the other nations to the point that generation after generation begins to be buried in idol worship. Generation after generation didn't know the living God anymore. And then all of a sudden, some men went out and found the scrolls, and they brought them before young Josiah. And he opened the scrolls, and they read the scrolls to him, and the Bible says that he rent his clothes, and he wept out loud. He yelled to the top of his lungs because he saw how far his people had fallen. There's more at stake here. There's more at stake here. Do you hear me? There's more at stake here than you just coming to church on Sunday mornings. There's more at stake here. We have to see the bigger picture. Do you hear me? If God has called you to this church, there's more at stake here. There's more at stake here. There's people in the city that are lost and they need a church home. God ordained the local assembly so that people from the city and the community and the surrounding area and that stranger, that passerby, may come by and see the light on and come in here and see that the light is really on, that the light of Jesus is really on. Do you hear me, church? I hope that we're getting it this morning. There's something about the life of Jeremiah that really intrigues me. I told you not everyone's going to want to go where you're going. Do you hear me? Let's look at that. For Jesus' disciples, going through Samaria was the most unlikely place to venture. Amen? It was a must for him to go through Samaria. For Paul, after being forbade by his companions not to go to Jerusalem, then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." We hear something here, guys. We hear something and we see something in the life of Jeremiah. When you read Jeremiah in its entirety, we see the same spirit that was in Jeremiah evidently within the Apostle Paul. The same spirit that's inside of you gives you boldness to be an effective witness for Jesus. That's why Jeremiah said in chapter 20, when he wanted to quit, Brother Percy, he said, "I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up, because sometimes life just get hard, Sister Shirley." He said, "I wanted to quit, but I could not quit." Why? Because it was like fire shut up in my bones. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, there's something inside of you that's going to compel you to continue to speak on behalf of God. Can I get an amen? There's something about the power of God that compels the believer, that transforms the views of the believer, that gives the traveler, the stranger, to continue on the journey, even when he or she becomes weary. Jeremiah was at this place in his ministry where he was spiritually and physically drained because of the opposition that he constantly faced from his countrymen. Secondly, this is what I want you to know. Jeremiah, he appealed to God concerning his faithful discharge of the duty to which he was called. Look at verse 16. We see that in verse 16. What does verse 16 say? It says, "As for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after you, nor have I desired a woeful day. You yourself know that which came out of my lips was in your presence." The people did all they could to make him weary of his work, to exasperate him, to make him uneasy, to tempt him to alter his message for fear of displeasing them. They wanted him to water down and to make the message of none effect. And that's a sad place to be, that we can build an empire of a church and we give in to the woes of the people, and we give in to the rich and the wealthy and the most influential person in the church. And we say to ourselves that if I preach this way, that this person is going to leave. If I say it like this, that person is going to leave. Either we're going to stand on the word of God or we're not going to stand at all. Either there are absolutes in the word of God or it's not absolute at all. For me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to preach a whole holistic gospel. For me and my house, we're going to set the example. For me and my house, everything that God gives me to say, I am going to say it with confidence. He continued constant in his work, even though the call of God on his life exposed him to reproach, contempt, and injury. Yet, says he, "I have not hastened from being a pastor after thee. I have not left my work nor sued for discharge." The prophets were pastors to the people to feed them with the good word of the Lord. It may be rough and it may be tough, but a good preacher continues to follow God. Though the storm rages about him, he continues to follow God. She continues to follow God in spite of everything. You are a child of God. You are a minister of righteousness. In spite of everything that comes across your path, you are to stand. A good road is going to have a bump or two in it every now and then. And when the bumps come in your life, it may jostle you for a moment, but I promise you the road is going to smooth out again. Every now and then, God allows a bump to be in a road so that he can wake up the sleepy believer, so that they can keep their eyes on the road, so that they can keep their focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Your final destination is heaven, but every now and then, you have to go through Samaria. Every now and then, Every now and then, you're going to have a trial. Every now and then, you're going to have a test. Every now and then, you're going to fall on your face. But the Bible says that a just man falls seven times, and he rises back up. What makes him just is that he has sense enough to get back up on his feet, dust himself off, get back in the race, and keep his eyes on Jesus. The reason why Jeremiah's name is written in the good book today is because he kept his focus on Jesus, on God. Do you hear me, church? Thirdly, he kept up his affection to the people. If you're going to be in ministry, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to have a successful marriage, successful life, just focus on that for a moment. When you lose affection for something, you lost focus. Your eyes start to drift and look in other directions. The church is this entity right here, this building, is because we are in the people's business. I want you to hear me. We're not in the individual business. God deals with people individually, and we deal as many people as possible individually, but we are in the people business. We want people to come here so that their lives can be changed by God and not by us. But we have to love people where they're at, and God will do the rest. Though they were abusive to him, he was compassionate to them. I have not desired a woeful day, Jeremiah said. The day of the completion of his prophecies would be a woeful day for Jerusalem, and therefore he denounced it and wished it might never come. Though, as to him, it would be the avenging of him upon his persecutors and the proving of him a true prophet, which they had questioned in verse 15. Note, God does not, and therefore ministers must not, desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn and live. Though we warn of the woeful day, we must not wish it, but rather weep because of it, as Jeremiah did. When the last time you wept for the lost in your city? As men and women of God, we are commanded. Paul commanded Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5, to preach the word. You could read that in your own time. He told Timothy, I want you to be instant in and out of season. He says some are going to leave your ministry, Timothy, because they have itching ears, and they're going to try to find places to ministries that will sound pleasing to them so that their lifestyle will be okay thereof. But preach the word, even if it's just you and your family, Timothy. That's what Paul was saying. Preach the word when opposition comes your way. Stand on God's word even when it doesn't feel good and when you don't like it yourself, when it's more than you saying, it's only you at that moment saying, ouch, let me get away from the word of God because it's convicting me. But I want you to preach the word, Timothy. I know you're sick in your body at times, you have a stomach condition, Timothy, but God is your healer, and I want you to preach the word about how God is a healer. Timothy, I know that some of the older generation may not look up to you the way that they should, but Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word, church. Preach it on your job. Preach it wherever you go in the marketplace. Do you have the word of God inside of you? Preach it. In spite of all the opposition and rejection, Jeremiah realized that there's a sense of safety and security that comes from walking with God. I have learned that it might not be the perfect walk, but it surely can be a faithful walk. Life at times can be very complex. And in a minute, we have ups and downs. And in a minute, we're on our face. But God is the one at the end of the day that holds you. Did you hear that? At the end of the day, God is the one that is holding you and not you yourself. You can't do anything to save yourself. It's God that we are depending on. Jeremiah in our text humbly begs God that he would own him and protect him and carry him on cheerfully in the work that he called him to do. Two things he desires here, if you want to write them down. The first one is that he might have comfort in serving the God that sent him. We see that in verse 17. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in a day of disaster. Secondly, he desired that he might have courage in dealing with the people whom God had sent him. Let those who persecute me, Jeremiah said, be humiliated. But let me not be humiliated. We read that earlier. So Jeremiah desired that he might have courage. We need courage, guys, in order to do what God has called us to do. Those who persecuted him should have entertained. And they entertained those who persecuted him. They were entertaining that because their hearts were not right. Their hearts were not fixed on the right thing. There are times that people are going to come against you because their hearts are not right. And their minds are not fixed on the right thing. But regardless of what, the call of God on your life is to still be lived out. We're going to get ready to wrap this up now. If you come and play some music for me. Live in hope. We have work to do in this city. We have work to do. The God of heaven has called us and empowered us. And it is because of this we can say like Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Say it with me, church. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Amen. In the closing of this prayer, Jeremiah had not desired the woeful day upon his country in general, but as his persecutors, in a holy indignation at their malice, he prays, bring up on them the day of evil, in hope that the bringing of it upon them might prevent the bringing it upon the country. If they were taken away, the people would be better off. Therefore, destroy them with a double destruction. Let them be utterly destroyed, root and branch, and let the prospect of the destruction be their present confusion. If you'll stand this morning. Jeremiah wanted his persecutors to be avenged so that he would not hinder the people that really want something. Your job, church, my job, is to make the Lord known. Your job and my job is to make the Lord known. But in order to make the Lord known, we have to believe in the power of God. We have to believe that He exists. We have to truly believe that it's just not some man's rhetoric. But we have to know that He lives in here. You want to be successful? You can't do this in your own strength. We've tried, I've tried, failed every time. matter if a person comes to the front of this church or not. It's a heart condition. God, a person can surrender whatever it is to you right there in their pew. A person can surrender at home in the privacy of their own home. If a person can surrender riding down the highway. A person can surrender wherever. But God, it's a heart condition. Father, I pray this day, God, for the hand that was raised. I pray for deliverance. I pray that you would set them free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God, be glorified in their life, God. Move amongst them, God. Show them, reveal yourself to them, and reveal yourself to us. God, forgive us where we have fallen short and where we have wronged you. God, I pray this morning, God, today, this afternoon, God, I pray that you will be glorified in all of our lives. God, as we go about our day, go about our week, God, I pray that you would strengthen your people. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, will minister to each and every one of us. Encourage us, God. But at the same time, God, break us in such a way that our eyes will be open for what breaks your heart. God, I know if you break us, you're going to rebuild us. I'd rather be built by you than by myself. Be glorified. Strengthen your people, God. God, we have loved ones that are lost and don't know you. Father, we have been praying for them for a long time now. God, they need you, God. They need their eyes to be open, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will open their eyes, that you will deliver and set them free. Father, wherever they're at, Lord God, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.